Can you hear me? Okay. Good evening. I'd like to welcome each one of you here in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You might wonder why I have Brother Mike McGee up here on the screen. In this morning's service, it was amazing to me how much, in my mind, our messages were similar, but maybe from different perspectives, I don't know. But what I was led to preach on today is live unto Christ. And what our brother Mike preached on today was about our growth and our progress. And I think, I just really enjoyed the sermon this morning, having studied and prepared for this sermon. And so I'm going to be referring to his sermon this morning. If you didn't have the opportunity, please avail yourself of the opportunity online to listen to his sermon. I'd like to welcome each of you who are watching online as well. So the theme of this sermon tonight is live unto Christ. And our brother Mike said something this morning that really stuck out to me, that really helped define this live unto Christ. The hope of the end in Jesus, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that this morning. And I thought about that considering this sermon and what living unto Christ is. Well, we have a hope to be with him for an eternity. And that hope only comes through the merits, his merits, what he did for us. So we have a hope in Christ, and in the end, that is in him. Our sister Manon picked this hymn tonight, Take My Life. And I thought, these words really made personal living unto Christ. Take my life, take my hands, take my voice, take my silver and my gold, take my will and make it thine. Take my love, take my moments and my days, take my feet, take my lips, take my intellect, take my heart, take myself, take everything of me and make me thine. I think that really speaks to living unto Christ. I'm going to start out in second book of Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. We need each one of us. All of us were dead because we had sinned according to the law of Moses. And so we were all dead and we needed a Savior. And this one died for us all. And so this love lives in us because we know that he gave himself for us. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not live henceforth unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So this love constrains us to not live for ourselves, but to live unto him who gave himself for us and rose again. So live unto Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. That's the wrong chapter. Let me try to give you the correct. reference. I'm sorry. What I read previously was 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is 6. Beginning in verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? So we're talking about living into Christ and the standard that there is. Are we saying, is he saying here that that we should not be around unbelievers? No, because Christ was around many unbelievers. They called him names, the Pharisees did, because he was around unbelievers. But this is talking about being bound with someone else. And so we need to be careful about our relationships with others and the trust we put in other people. It says, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Why are we the temple of the living God? Because the Holy Spirit, as our brother Mike talked about today, lives in us. That's how we live under Christ, by following the guidance of that Holy Spirit. And so we have to be careful then who we bind our emotions with, who we trust in, or who we trust, or who we have strong relationships with, that those relationships don't carry us away from living in Christ. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, that's in us, as the temples of God, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. Isn't that an amazing thing, that we are his sons and daughters, and he has loved us with the love of a father? Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I had a conversation with our brother Jim Case yesterday, and he was telling me about that God will wake him up. You know, when he wakes up at like 1 a.m., he said, he thinks it's for a purpose, that God wants him to pray for somebody, so he'll ask God, who do you want me to pray for? Or maybe God wants to teach him a lesson, and he was talking about this yesterday. Well, this morning at 1 a.m., I woke up, and I remembered that conversation, and I had just had a dream. And in the dream, I was with my wife and with some other people who I felt uncomfortable. I felt uncomfortable, but I also felt drawn to. And the car was on autopilot. I guess I had a Tesla or some other kind of autopilot vehicle. And I was just relaxed, you know, not giving it much effort and kind of speeding to wherever it was taking us. And as Brother Mike preached today, and he talked about the speed and the little effort that we have, I thought of that dream. And we were on our way to some place that I hadn't been that these people wanted to go to, and it was exciting. And my wife says, I don't feel good, so I want you to take them, drop them off, and then drop me off at home. And then suddenly, as she said that, you know, I'm thinking, okay, you know, I'll do that. And then I started not feeling good. And I realized that it was spiritual more than physical. I started thinking about this being on autopilot and me just doing whatever I felt in the moment that I wanted to do. And so I thought about that, about today, you know, about this sermon and about living unto Christ, what that means. And it means that we can take control of the wheel, but with the guidance of that gift of the Holy Ghost, and we go where he says to go, and we don't go where he says not to go. There's a phrase, death by GPS, and I guess it's, you know, it's people who have died on autopilot, because they just trust, they just, you know, kick back and don't put any effort into it and just go full speed ahead, and they hit trains or hit buses or what, you know, whatever. In these vehicles, and that is the risk of being on autopilot, of not listening to that gift of the Holy Ghost and taking hold of the wheel and doing what he says to do. Our brother Mike preached today on, and he said he listed off some things that can hinder us in our growth. And I wanted to repeat them because I think they're important, because they can hinder us on living unto Christ. Sin, negative thoughts. You know, those negative thoughts, and when he said that, what I thought of is we have an enemy of our growth. And he likes to keep us down and feeling guilty, whereas Christ wants us to lift us back up when we fall, when we sin. You know, he wants to lift us back up. He wants us to turn from that sin and turn unto him again. And he will be there to encourage us if we'll listen. Fear of change, well, that's a big one for me. Complacency, that's another big one. Jealousy and pride, these are all things that can hinder our growth or our walk with Christ. I'm going to go now. Well, I want to go back and read the 17 and 18 again of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, because then we're going to go into Chapter 7, verse 1. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. If we do this, if we separate ourselves from where we want to go, if we separate ourselves from autopilot, from those things we desire to do, from people that will lead us astray, then he says, I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters. These are promises to us. So chapter 7, verse 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And later on, we're going to go at the end, we're going to go through that list in Galatians chapter 5 of those works of the flesh, those things that we need to cleanse ourselves of, those things that we need to allow God to cleanse us of through Christ. And I want to share a testimony. This last November, I was going through a very weak phase where I was very tempted, and I did sin, and almost immediately, I can't remember if it was the same night or, but I received this message from a sister in Mexico. Sorry. God is amazing. Anyway, so she says, "Good evening, brother. I am praying for you. I hope you are strengthened and have peace in your heart. God bless you. I send you a big hug." And I responded, "Good evening, sister. Thank you very much for your prayers. They are very appreciated. I am interested in knowing what motivated," because I knew this was a direct, this was God. "I said, I am interested in knowing what motivated you to pray for me, especially to be strengthened and have peace in my heart. Is there something that motivated you, or was it that you felt the desire to pray that? I repeat, I appreciate your prayers. They are showers of blessings for me. May God bless you. I send big hugs to you, your husband, and your children." So she responded. She replied, "Yes, brother. A few days ago, it came to my mind that you needed prayers. I didn't give it any importance, but this week, while I was praying again, your name came to my mind. And I wanted to send you a message to find out how you were. A few moments ago, I prayed with my son, and then I prayed to God for you." I responded, "Yes, sister, it was God speaking to you. I have been spiritually weak this week and in great need of your prayers. Thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit and praying for me. For me, it shows me the love God has for me, even though I don't deserve it. God is good." And she went on to say that I wasn't mistaken. God did tell me that, you know. And so it was confirmation to her that, you know, because sometimes when God speaks to you to do something and say things, you're hesitant about it. You worry you might offend someone or whatever. And she did it anyway. And then it confirmed to her that the Holy Spirit had spoken to her. Thank God. Thank God. It totally turned my week around. Not that God had chastised me, yes. But at the same time, his love was overwhelming that he would send my name to a sister thousands of miles away to pray for me. And God does that because he wants us to repent. He wants us. He is a father who loves his sons and daughters, and he wants us to turn back to him. Our brother, Mike McGee, started off his sermon this morning by reading Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. In verses 4 and 5, it says that Christ came to redeem them that were under the law, that we might be received, I think it says, or we might receive the adoption of sons. "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so he's given us that gift of the Spirit of God to tell us which way to turn the wheel, to protect us. And so, so we cry out to him, and he answers. So that was in Galatians chapter 4, and I'm going to go back a little to Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. So the law required total obedience. And if you sinned, then you were guilty. And it required death. And in times past, there was a type, and the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and present there a lamb without spot for the forgiveness of sins, but it couldn't have given eternal forgiveness. We needed Holy Christ to offer himself up as that last great high priest, offer himself up, who was truly without sin, tempted like we are, but without sin. And he offered himself a sacrifice. And so, so we live unto him. In verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So we could not be saved by the law. The law proved us guilty. We needed a Savior, that being Christ, who righteousness comes by. If we do any right thing, it's because of him. It's because of his guidance, that his Spirit that guides us. We are, by our nature, evil. But when we receive him, that's when we can live righteously. Second book of Nephi, chapter 11. Jacob was done speaking before this chapter. Anyway, he has this similar talk about the deadness of the law. And so they lived under the law. And so they had to still keep the law of Moses. Verse 43, it says, but they still believed in Christ. Verse 43, for we labor diligently to write, to persuade our children and also our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God. For we know that it is by grace that we are saved after all we can do. And notwithstanding we believe in Christ, we keep the law and look forward with steadfastness unto Christ. So they keep the law because they are still under the law. And so they would still sacrifice, and they would do all those things according to the law. But their faith was in Christ. And look forward with steadfastness unto Christ until the law shall be fulfilled. For this end was the law given, to point to Christ. Wherefore the law hath become dead unto us, and we are made alive in Christ because of our faith. Yet we keep the law because of the commandments. And we talk of Christ. We rejoice in Christ. We preach of Christ. We prophesy of Christ. And we write according to our prophecies that our children may know to what source they may look for a remission of their sins. So Nephi talks about they know who their Savior is. They know that it is in Christ. And so they live unto him. They talk of him. They rejoice of him. They preach of him. They prophesy of him. And they write of him. Wherefore, we speak concerning the law, that our children may know the deadness of the law, and they, by knowing the deadness of the law, may look forward to that life which is in Christ, and know for what end the law was given. Now I want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When I go back to one of those things that hinders us that our brother Mike talked about this morning, fear of change. That things are going to turn out a certain way. Fear. But it says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And, you know, we know our weaknesses. And we fear the consequences because of our weaknesses. Yet, we are not limited to our weaknesses, but we are empowered by him when we have faith in him. And so he's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. You know, he's blessed you over and over. He's performed miracles in your life. When things looked down and out, he's come through. And so he'll keep coming through. Look to him, but also testify of him when he does come through. Tell people about it, not just people at church, but people people in your lives, unbelievers, who you come across, who may tempt you to do wrong. I think I'm going to talk about that later. If I don't, I will try to remember to bring it up again. Verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. You know, I'm going to look for it. Jesse Lawrence. When I got to know Jesse Lawrence, he was 12 years old. And we, Dan and Manon and Jesse and I went to eat at Winstead's when there was a Winstead's on Nolan Road. And I said some term that was a replacement for a bad word. And Jesse looks at me and he says, we don't say those words. And I thought, wow, what an example. And we need to be like that. People, maybe at business, somebody invites us to a bar. We want to spend time with them. You know, I don't go to bars, but I would love to go to a coffee shop and spend time with you. And we can even tell them why we don't go to bars. You know, about this Savior, you know, we are not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. God provides us those opportunities to witness to people, to set a higher standard, to love them enough to tell them the truth. Verse 9. So let me, I'm probably going to need to get back into this. I'm going to read 8 again. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. We are each called with a holy calling. We're called to be Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. Called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. In other words, we haven't earned this calling. But he's called us with a purpose to save us, to use us. It says, according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And truly, you and I have committed to follow Jesus Christ, to serve him unto the end of our lives. And we cannot keep that commitment except through him, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He is able, and he gives us the power through repentance and getting right back up and humbling ourselves before him and listening to him, asking him, where should I go now? Turn right, turn left. Asking him, communication, in constant communication with him, letting that gift of the Holy Ghost work in us. Okay, so we need to take the opportunity to be different. And we need to be careful of the appearance of evil. The evil that can appear when we put ourselves in situations where we shouldn't be in. We need to avoid those. We need to avoid doing things that might appear to be evil, that could reflect negatively on the testimony of Jesus Christ. 2 Nephi chapter 1. And this is kind of that whole plan of this liberty we've been given, this freedom to do good or evil that we've been given through Christ. and the consequences thereof. And I'm start out in verse 111. And now behold, if Adam had not transgressed, he would not have fallen, but he would have remained in the Garden of Eden. And all things were created, which were created, must have remained in the same state which they were after that they were created, and they must have remained forever and had no end. And they would have had no children, wherefore they would have remained in a state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery, doing no good, for they knew no sin. So Nephi is giving us this plan of salvation. Why? Adam needed to fall so that we could eventually have joy. Okay. But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of him who knoweth all things. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they were redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. I just want to talk about that, to that freedom to act for ourselves and not to be acted upon. Before I was baptized, it seemed like sin had dominion over me. I could not, there were certain things that I could not get out of my life. And after baptism, I knew I had power over those sins. And if I did sin, it was my choice, because I had every tool I needed to overcome that sin. And so I am free to act for myself and not to be acted upon by the devil. Verse 119, wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. And now, my sons, I would that ye should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his great commandments and be faithful unto his words and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit. And this, you know, this is what God through his Holy Spirit is constantly working at our hearts to do. Consider them great commandments. Consider him a great mediator. Because, you know, that's what the Holy Spirit, that's what he is when we're living by his Holy Spirit. And we recognize that those commandments are given to us to bring us that joy, because that's what he wants to give us. Verse 124, and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and the evil which is therein, which giveth the spirit of the devil power to captivate, to bring you down to hell, that he may reign over you in his own kingdom. And we need to remember that every time we're tempted. When we're tempted, we obviously want to do something that we should not do. And so when that is presented to us and we feel our being want to do that, let's remember this, this scripture, that it is the devil who with that temptation has purposed to reign over us. He wants to have that power over us. And that's the whole intent of the temptation. And finally, Galatians chapter 5. Remember, we talked about this freedom to choose eternal life or captivity and death. Galatians 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, in the freedom, wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And verse 13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." In other words, to tempt, don't use it to do the things that you're tempted to do, but by love. So look here. So temptation and flesh are opposed by love. The love that God first loved us with and sending his son to die for us and be resurrected for us. And we respond to that love by loving him, keeping his commandments. And this whole walking in the Spirit, well, I'll get to that. "But by love serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye not be consumed one of another." So, and that's what happens when we start to bite and devour, when we get angry and we respond in that anger, we become consumed one with another. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit," and this is the promise, "walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in his love. Be guided at the wheel by his Spirit. And walk in his love, or in other words, drive in his love. Go where he says to go. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would do." In other words, if I am walking in the works of the flesh, I cannot do the things that my soul wants to do, those good things that the Spirit will guide me to do. And if I am walking in love, the love of Christ, and I'm listening to those commandments, I'm having communion with him, praying to him and listening to his Holy Spirit, and you know, hearing him and responding to him, if that's happening, I'm not desiring over here to do this thing that I'm always tempted to do, because he's working in me. Verse 18, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Because if we are doing and listening to him and communicating, responding to him, and our focus is on him, we don't have to worry about the letter of the law, because we're in him and we're already listening to him and doing those things. It's when we get distracted from that. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness," and those are sexual sins, "idolatry," which can be adoring, it can be worshiping idols or crosses or anything made with hands, or it can be having something just as important or more important to us than God. That can be our idol. "Witchcraft," hatred. Witchcraft is any work of the devil. hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife. And these are all opposition, you know, really getting into who's better, or if I'm better or you're better, or, you know, we need, you know, anger and, you know, my points, and has nothing to do with Christ. Seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, and I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And I can find my mind get distracted on some of these things. Being tempted and allowing that temptation to work in my life. And often it's when I'm fearing something, or, you know, I'm facing a trial in one situation, or I'm not listening to the wisdom of God and getting good sleep, and sleep going to bed when I should. You know, there's things that, had I been conducing, turning the wheel, when the Holy Spirit did, and had I been in constant communication with God and full of His love and serving Him, those things would not have had control. Okay, such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we want to inherit the kingdom of God. We want to spend an eternity with Him. We want to choose eternal life with Him. We want, going back to what our brother Mike said today, having an end in Him, having the hope of an end in Him, or with Him, with Christ. So we should walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? What is the consequence of constant communication with God, of receiving His love and responding with our love to Him and our love to one another? This, which I believe, it says the fruit, one, singular. I believe that this fruit of the Spirit is the pure love of Christ. And these are all characteristics of that pure love of Christ. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. And that meekness is the divine, the submission to the divine will, submission to God's will, meekness, temperance, moderation. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, in other words, if we read the Scriptures and we know He is to be our Savior, and we know that He died for us and that we can live to Him, let us also walk in the Spirit. Live it. As our brother Mike read today, if you believe these things, see that you do them. And you know, doing them is really evidence that we truly believe them. And so let us walk in the Spirit. Let us live unto Christ. God bless you all.